Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Donna Weber in Donna W. in California, and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Thursday, September 26th. Today we are reading from the Big Book, and we are at page 49, the first paragraph. Instead of regarding ourselves as intelligent agents, finishing with rather vain of us, today's readers are, we have Terry G. for the 12 Steps, Laura H. for the 12 Traditions, Sherry Z. is reading the passage in the Big Book, Penny L., the Vision for You section, and we have Cara L. for backup. And I want to thank all of Team Thursday for September. The reference numbers for Wednesday, September 25th, 10 a.m. Eastern Time is 21772. That's 21,772. And for this morning's 7 a.m. Eastern Time is 21,778. That's 21778. The OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive eating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting to our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. I'm hearing some background noise, so could everyone make sure they're muted, please? Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive eater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive eating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. So now I'll ask, we've got Terry G. to read the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous, please.
Good morning. Thank you for your service. This is Terry G. from Pensacola, Florida, and I'm a food addict. And these are the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. Number one, we admitted we were powerless over food and our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. Ten, continued to take personal inventory and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all of our affairs. Thank you so much for letting me be of service.
Thank you, Terry G. Next up is Laura H. for the 12 Traditions, please.
Good morning, I'm Laura H., recovering compulsive overeater from Washington State. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there's but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group I'd never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities pass.
Thank you, Laura H. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the big books of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive eaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the big book mean to us. To share, press 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today we resume our study of the big book on page 49, the first paragraph, starting with, instead of regarding ourselves as intelligent agents, through one paragraph ending, rather vain of us, wasn't it? And I will ask Sherry Z to please read and comment on that paragraph.
Thank you so much, Donna, and good morning, visionaries, or good afternoon or good evening, depending on where you are. We're on page 49, the first full paragraph. I'm Sherry Z, and I'm recovered in Southern California. Instead of regarding ourselves as intelligent agents, spearheads of God's ever-advancing creation, we agnostics and atheists chose to believe that our human intelligence was the last word, the alpha and the omega, the beginning and end of it all. Rather vain of us, wasn't it? So I never liked this paragraph. In fact, I didn't like the three paragraphs before this because I thought, I'm not an agnostic, I'm not an atheist, this doesn't apply to me. Except when I read it over, I realized this is the big book giving us instructions. For every person that thinks, you know, I'm not going to believe in God because I don't see God, or there's no proof, or there's no facts, this is for you. And I can tell you that in this paragraph, I thought that my intelligence would supersede everything else. I thought enough therapy would actually eliminate my disease. And I just had to get to the core intellectual reason I compulsively overate. And if I got there, then I would be cured. And that is where I'm agnostic. I had to set aside this belief that my intellect could solve my compulsive overeating. My intellect, I'm bright. I think most people that are recovered are bright. That being said, I am not even close to the intelligence of God. And it is rather vain of me to think that my intelligence could solve a problem that has existed long before me and will exist long after me. So what I hear in this paragraph is I'm an agnostic when I believe that my intellect can solve my compulsive overeating. Only one thing can solve my compulsive overeating, and that is God. I don't understand it. I don't have proof. But I can tell you I live in recovery today because I have faith that God supersedes all. and I'm not vain enough today to think that I can trump God. So thank you for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Sherry Z. Okay, let me just get to the right bit here. All right, so we're going to get names for sharing. And although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you would please give me your first name, your last name, initial, and where you're calling from.
Kara L.
Ian F.
Kara L. Ian F.
Rohan S.
Say that again.
Rohan S.
Rohan.
Janice PM.
Janice.
Thank you.
Sherry C. from New York.
Something Z.
Sherry C.
Sherry C.
Sandy
Great.
T.
Okay,
from California.
Sandy T. Great. We'll stop there. So I've got Kara L., Ian F., Rohan S., Janice PM, Sherry Z., and Sandy T. So we'll start with Kara L., and everyone else please mute, followed by Ian F. Go ahead, Kara.
Good morning, my friends. I am Kara L. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater, and I live in California. this paragraph, like our first reader, I didn't believe I was agnostic or atheist at all until I heard a speaker in our program say, "Where am I agnostic towards my higher power helping me in my life?" And that just really, really hit home for me. It really made a change for me. It's like, do I think I know best, right? Human intelligence was the last word. And so where in my life, am I not inviting God in? And the answer is everywhere, everywhere. And I know today when I feel like I'm banging my head against the wall, something I am trying so hard to fix something or come up with a plan or do. It could be food. It could be an interpersonal relationship. It could be work. It could be anything. It is because I am agnostic in this area and I am not inviting God in for a solution. So what is the solution? And how do I figure this out? Well, I work this program. I do an inventory. And I see my character defects, and I'll tell you, most of the time is because I have a fixed mindset on what needs to happen around any particular thing. And then I say, what is the dishonesty? And I name that dishonesty, and I just need to stop and say, God, I don't know. I've been trying here so hard, and I need help, please. Whatever your answer is going to be, just send it to me today. Send me intuitive thought, inspiration, or a decision. Because on my own, I make it so complicated and so hard when there can always be an easier answer with my higher power. With that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Kara L. from California. Next up is Ian F. and followed by Rohan S.
Hi, I'm Ian F. in Indiana. Very grateful to be here. It really helps me think about this, not so much in terms of agnosticism or atheism, but in terms of my self-will. Because I never, when I'm going about my day-to-day, I'm not always thinking about, well, to what degree am I atheist? You know, but like when they're talking about like the human intelligence being the last word, I'm programmed because of the doctor's opinion. What it talks about is I'm programmed to think that I can do this by myself. I don't have a problem. And that's with food, and it's also with life. You know, I get stuck in these places all the time where I think, well, this is how my life's going to go. And when I'm in that mindset, this is how life is going to go, I mean, it's not healthy, but it also never works. Because invariably, when I get stuck in that, I am disappointed. And so I don't know always, like, what is God or what does God look like? But I do know that I clearly do not know how my life is going to go. Even when I exert all the willpower in the world, you know, I know tons about nutrition. Still a compulsive overeater who needed this program. You know, I can diet with the best of them. I can exercise with the best of them. Still needed this program. I was so certain that I was going to be able to find a job. This fall, I was like, yeah, I just need to do these things, and then I'll get a job, and it'll be great. Did that happen? Because I didn't do anything. You know, because they think, well, but this guy's a different plan for me. You know, so I just never know the answer. And so much of this program is understanding that I don't have this. And that's where the trust comes in. Love you all.
Thank you, Ian F. in Indiana. Next up is Rohan S., followed by Janice P.M.
Hello, my name is Rohan S. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from New Jersey. Thank you for everyone's service on the line today. Grateful to be able to share. This paragraph really resonated with me. I like the word that is used here, which is vain, rather vain of us, wasn't it? When I Google search it, it says that vain means having or showing undue or excessive pride in one's appearance or achievements. It's funny because I was reading this, this guy was talking about having, like, you know, it's good to say affirmations. And one of the affirmations he said was like, I feel special and I am smart. And I read it a couple of times, and I immediately realized that for myself, this is really dangerous, because this is how I naturally feel every morning that I wake up. You know, I feel like I have some special abilities, and that I'm extremely smart, and that whatever problems come my way, I'm gifted enough to solve them on my own. And that was always how I felt about the food. You know, every time I would go on a diet, I felt like, you know, other people can definitely do it. If other people can do it, I can definitely do it, because I'm really smart. I'm really disciplined. I'm really special. And so what it really came down to is I wanted to beat this by myself. I wanted to show everyone, really, that I could get the six-pack while eating whatever I wanted. That was what I was out to prove. To, I don't know who, but to somebody. And it's funny because I was never really even close to being successful in doing that. I just never even entertained for the longest time that God was really an option. I think I was a true agnostic. I mean, I thought that there might be one, but what does God have to do with me? And I guess, you know, my story is that I had to get into a lot of pain and a lot of desperation and just a really, really low internal bottom. And just like, you know, I was a prisoner to the food, to the point where I felt like, oh, maybe I'm not smart enough to do this. And that is what my inner dialogue was the first time. Minutes before I decided to call the person that I knew in LA, that maybe I'm not smart enough to figure out how to eat all the fast food I want and be skinny. Maybe I can't do this. That was the first true humility I got in the food department. Uh-huh. And now I get to practice it in all my other affairs. Thank you.
Thank you. Excuse me. Thank you, Rohan from New Jersey. Next up is Janice PM, followed by Clary Z. And just a quick reminder, we are at the page 49, the first paragraph, starting with instead of regarding ourselves as intelligent agents, finishing with rather vain of us, wasn't it? Go ahead, Janice.
Well, thank you so much.
Sorry.
Okay, thank you so much, Tom. Thank you. My name is Janice PM, and I'm a grateful recovered compulsive overeater from Massachusetts. Oh, boy. You know, I love what I hear, especially if I were so damn smart, which I always thought I was. I was so broken in my mind, in my thinking. I thought I was pretty smart. You know, I did this, I did that, I went to school, I married a doctor, blah, blah, blah. But why couldn't I, why couldn't we, if we think the same as me, stay sober, stay abstinent, don't get into relapse? This is my story, you know, if I'm so darn smart. You know, I had a lot of false beliefs from my childhood and my culture. You know, I thought if you achieve, you're going to have a lot of self-esteem. You know, you're going to feel good about yourself because you're going to know how to do this and that. But, you know, when I went through my brokenness, when I went through my step four to see, you know, my frailties, my faults, I either had high self-esteem, which I thought I, you know, a lot of pride. I knew everything, self-righteous. A low self-esteem. I wasn't good enough. I would get jealous of people that was, you know, talked better than me, could be thin, could eat better, think different than me. Wrong. You know, I used to think that God, you know, they used to tell me it because I, of my religion, God will take care of everything. Well, I said, no, he can't take care of anything. But the truth is, God can take everything, or whomever you want, another power, who you choose, because he will take it. He, if I surrender to that power, which I found the true power for me, that I call God from the 12 steps, that he does take care of everything. He's in charge. He's in charge of results. I am in charge of my actions. I couldn't think like that. It's not me. It's a higher power. I didn't want to ask for help. That's a weakness, right? In my head, I thought, oh, God, no, I can't ask for help. Then they'll think I'm stupid, right? That's why I married a physician, and I thought, you know, I would be very smart because he's smart. But I used to tell him what to do. And he would say very dryly, Janice, what dental school did you go to? And I would laugh. I said, I'm telling you, this is how you do. You know, it was like crazy. It was funny. But, you know, if I was so darn smart, why couldn't I fix it? Well, that's the truth here. I was too egotistical. The ego, my ego, which means we all know etching God out. So when we find that power, thank you so much. When we find that power, for one day we'll stay recovered, hopefully. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Janice PM from Massachusetts. Next up is Clary Z, followed by Sandy T.
Hi, did you hear me, Tracy?
Yes.
Hi. So this is Sarah C., formerly of Connecticut, now in New York. Thank you for letting me share. I'm scared all the time. I'm scared of the food. I'm scared of never being recovered. I'm scared of how much I feel myself slipping further and further away from even attaining abstinence. And yet, at the same time, I feel like so many of us, you know, are of the educational variety, as they say many of us are sort of almost feel like we're drowning in a pool of information. There's so much information. And yeah, it's almost like if you know, it used to be that they would say, like, don't tell somebody about all the details and all the worst case scenarios. And now you can't hide information from people. It's all out there. So what's on the other side if I am not recovered is oblivion. But some call it bliss, is a virtual reality that could be so enjoyable that it could mask what is real. It's a fight every day to really live, truly live. And I almost, no, I can't do it. My brain's like a sea, and I can't seem to pass it. And I also need to trust that as and when that time comes, when it is time, all of the work that I'm doing is not for naught. All of my struggles, all of my days, every single day that I'm not abstinent, they're not for naught. I'm still here. I'm still saying I'm powerless over my food and my life is unmanageable. I'm not giving up the fight. And with that, I want to thank everyone who does service, continues to fight the fight. And for those of you that are abstinent, we need you. Thank you for your fight and for your abstinence. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Clary Z, in formerly of Connecticut, now in New York. Sandy T, you're up next, and then after Sandy, I'll take more names. Sandy T, please press star one to unmute.
Good morning, everybody. Can I be heard?
Yes.
Great. Today's a brand new day, and that's what I need to keep in mind. And to thank everybody who makes this program possible on Vision for You. When I was told that, in the step that says you can't, you know, we can't manage our lives, I was thinking, hey, I can manage my life just fine, except for food. I'm just fine, thank you very much. And that was my whole attitude. But what I learned is that my best thinking was what got me here. And that was a person who couldn't leave food alone. All my life, I had thought that rational thinking would solve all of my problems and yours too. And I'd let you know about that. But if it's true, and I'm believing more and more it is, that we have a broken mind or at least a blank spot in there that's not working, a broken mind can't fix a broken mind. And these are all words that I've heard in the program. They aren't my words alone. And the scary part is that I don't even know what I don't know. And here I'm thinking I'm a big know-it-all, but there's all kinds of things that I don't know, especially what makes up this disease and why a higher power can help me. I was only thinking about a God that didn't care to help me. Somebody so remote handling all the big things like tsunamis and hurricanes. But I was told to get off the debate team. I was told to act as if I did have a God that cared about me. But I seemed like I was working as hard as I could, but I still couldn't find him. So what I've learned is I have to slow down in order to get in touch with a God who cares about me and is stronger than the food and all of my challenges. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Sandy T. I didn't catch where you're calling from. So let's see, we are at page 49, paragraph 1, starting with, instead of regarding ourselves as intelligent agents, finishing with rather vain of us all. And we'll take the next lineup. Who would like to share? Please give your first name and your first initial of your last name.
Hello, Beverly R.
Beverly R.
From Silver Spring, Maryland.
Thank you.
Jackie M. from Michigan.
Jackie M. What was something C? Who came in after Jackie?
Denise P. from Pennsylvania.
Denise C., thank you.
Jan F. from New York.
Jan F.
It's D-N F.
Thank you.
With a D. Yeah, thank you.
And Got it.
Alicia R., Nevada.
Alicia R. And if you haven't shared ever, today's a great day. Last Thursday of September. What are you waiting for? Let's take one more.
Hi, good morning. It's Lee Ben. I'd like to say.
Was that Lynn N?
Leva N.
Leva N. Great. So there was Steve Mute, except Beverly R. from Maryland, and Beverly will be followed by Jackie M. Go ahead, Beverly. And Beverly, please press star 1 to unmute. Beverly, are you able to share? Okay, Jackie M., go ahead, and then we can come back to Beverly.
Hello, everyone. Thank you for being here. This,
go ahead.
Usually I kind of rehearse what I'm going to say. Today I didn't.
Could you just let us know your name and where you're calling from?
Jackie, Michigan.
Great, thank you. Go ahead, Jackie.
Okay, thank you. I was not even relying on myself for quite a while there, and I found myself depressed, and I realized, and I do have a therapist helping me, and of course the program, that I wasn't doing what I need to do to be normal and not depressed. I have to follow a pretty strict schedule, but it helps me get things done. And I start the morning in prayer. First, I take care of my animals, and I start the morning in prayer. And I hadn't been doing that. Today, I decided it was time to take charge. And really, it's not me. It's God. The books that I read, this book, encourages me. And I read the Bible. And not only do I read it, but I study it. And I need to get back into that, because I'm not going to get better by just moping around. It takes work. But really, it's not, when I think of work, I think of ugh. But no, it's not ugh. It's a gift from God. So with that, I will pass. And thank you for all who reached out to me. I really appreciate it.
Hello. Hello, this is Beverly.
Thank you, Jackie M. in Michigan. Beverly R., are you available to share?
Yes. Hello, this is Beverly. I'm sorry my phone wasn't working properly. I just wanted
to... No worries. Please go ahead.
The big book is Listen, Man, There Is Hope. Listen, Man, There Is Hope. You see all these low-bottom drunks who have recovered, and they point out to us that we can recover too. And I am floundering in my recovery, but I have hope. I I have been in OA for quite a while, and I just started coming to Vision, and I have hope. I have hope that God is in charge and not I. God is large and in charge and not I. And that I pass, it's Beverly R. from Silver Spring, Maryland. Thanks for listening.
Thank you so much, Beverly R. in Maryland. Next up is Denise C., followed by Deanne.
Thank you. This is Denise P. in Pennsylvania, in Pittsburgh. Thank you, Donna. Thank you, everyone, for the transparency that comes through this program, saying keep the focus on myself when I talk. I, too, objected to the concept written in this big book, down in black and white, that I needed to become objective about this agnosticism. Easily to want to throw it out and have that prejudicial spirit, I'll say, towards you know, the area of atheism, agnosticism, or true believer. And the true believer, especially from hearing my intelligence, just is cannot have equal par with the intelligence of my higher power. What a great humility, a dose of humility you're getting from this meeting today. And lastly, you know, an egomaniac with an inferior or inferiority complex. I would laugh and be able to just chuckle. I'm real good for coming out with those lines, you know. And when I saw it in someone else, you know, but truly my struggle that I cover up so much that I'm an egomaniac. Where does the out of control over amount of my ego running the show go on? And then when I swing to that inferiority, sometimes called that queen baby, I act like I don't know how to do anything. Help me, help me. And I don't have the spirit of my higher power say, here, just take this one next step. Listen to who said to do that. And just do that. Instead, my helplessness, you know, and comes through. And I do believe, I've been told years and years ago, all behavior is purposeful. So as much as I have to stay in what I call step zero, that step that I'm becoming willing to be willing to take step one, that very life-changing, who has the power step? I am powerless, rather. And then who has the power in step three. That takes care of the inferiority complex. And so streaming that in between these three, where is it that it's hidden that I have that inferiority and my higher power makes it right? So I'm really grateful about looking at these three words. But in the area of the agnosticism, how much as it's been said, I don't want you, God, to have this. And I'm willing today to say, yes, I want you to, and be that objective. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Denise P. in Pennsylvania. Next up is Deanne F., followed by Alicia R.
Hey, I'm here. It's Deanne F. in New York. Gratefully recovered today. And I just had to jump in because while I was driving, I was listening to this wonderful meeting and this amazing paragraph. And it just really came to me so strongly that, I mean, I happen to live on an island, so I'm surrounded by water on both sides. And so, you know, one of the modes of transportation is boats. And one of them is a type of boat is a sailboat. And it just occurred to me that sailboats can be, you know, everything from like, you know, a sunfish, which is what you learn on, very small, very simple, to spectacular, amazing, beautiful, you know, technologically beautiful sailboats. And no matter what, those boats won't sail without wind. And that is, for me, that is the definition of what higher power is. It's wind. It is a power that's greater than myself. And, you know, even that crazy mind that I have is like, well, you can have a motor. That's what people do, because sometimes you don't have wind. And then, you know, God was like, okay, well, let's look at that for a minute. And what I came to believe and see is that a motor requires gasoline. It requires another source to be able to be powered. So when that motor runs out, there's still no power if there's no wind. So, you know, this helps me. It helps me. I hope it helps somebody else. And it's also a really beautiful visual that, you know, God is this greater power, because we can be looking from the outside like we are good. And the truth is that we don't have the power. We need God's power. I know I do today. And I hope everyone has a beautiful day. Thank you. I pass.
Thank you, Dan F. in New York. Next up is Alicia R., followed by Leva S. Sorry, by Leva N.
Good morning, Alicia R. from Nevada, recovering compulsive overeater. This has been such a wonderful meeting. I'm so grateful that I'm here and able to join in as well. This paragraph I was thinking of, you know, listening in on all the shares. Our human resources fail us utterly, you know, and that I love, you know, the reminder that staying in self-will is what leads us to that gift of desperation. That leads us to depending on a higher power, that frog, right? Full reliance on God. And so every step of the way, wherever I'm at in my journey, or wherever we, you know, you may be at in yours, has a purpose, right? And it is leading us to our higher power. If we're here, working a program, we're taking the action, and that's what I've had this perspective shift lately, where all of these actions that I take, I've always thought those are the actions that I take for my abstinence. And actually, I'm coming to realize those are the actions I take to get closer to my higher power. They are the actions that unblock me from my higher power. All of the, and especially the ones I really don't want to do, like picking up the phone. Right. And when I kind of shift it into that, instead of this is the action that I have to take because this is the act, because I don't want to go back to my disease. I don't want to go back to my compulsive overeating. Right. And so it just becomes like this monotonous, I have to do this. I have to do that. And there's beauty in it too. And I get a lot of joy out of it as well. But sometimes it can be a lot of work. Right. And that can be difficult with a full life, with all the gifts that we get from program, right? But when I shift it into, no, these are the actions I take to get closer to my higher power, that just totally changes it for me. And I'm no longer upset about having to take it, or at least not as much, because I want to get closer to my higher power. I desperately want to get closer to my higher power. I know today that is the solution for my spiritual malady. And I get quite spiritually sick before I pick up the food, and I don't want to live in that state either. That's a very uncomfortable place to be for me and for everyone around me. So I'm super grateful that God is the solution today. Grateful for all the acronyms of God, because I couldn't do the God thing at first. That was a really hard thing for me. My ego was definitely large and in charge until I did this work and got that gift of desperation, right?
So grateful to be here, and thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Alicia R. in Nevada. Next up is Leva N., and I think we'll wrap up with Leva. Go ahead, Leva. Leva, please press star 1 to unmute.
Now you hear me?
Yes.
Oh, thank you. Good morning, everyone. It's Leva Ann from New York. Thank you all for your service and for being here. So what I've learned in the past couple of weeks, actually months, struggling with my food and certain behaviors, is that although I do have a lot of knowledge in nutrition and I do have a lot of knowledge in how the body works and a lot of knowledge about other things, the bottom line is that when I tell myself, I know this, I can do this, I can figure this out, that for me is when I disconnect from God, when I say, I don't know. I have some knowledge, I have some information, but I really don't know what the right thing to do is, or I really don't know how to go about that specific thing or situation that I'm in. And when I reach out to someone or I pray or I write or I meditate on it, and I feel like for myself after that, when I take action, it's not because I know or because I figured it out on my own knowledge or on my own experience. It's reaching out, humbly saying, I do not know, or I don't know how to go about this. And for me, I feel like that was a new idea and a new thought that I started to live my life, trying to incorporate that. So with that, I'll pass. Thank you all for being here. Have a wonderful day.
Thank you, Leva N. in New York. All right, we have somebody, I guess we have about 30 seconds. Anyone want to jump in for something super quick?
This is Penny. I'll say a minute here.
Jump in, Penny.
Thank you very much for your service. This is Penny LC, Grateful Recovered Compulsive. And what I'll say is just simply that I used to think that I was not agnostic, that I believed in God, until I realized it wasn't a personal higher power that I could relate to. And once I was willing to look at that, change it to a new perspective and a vision that worked for me, everything started to change. With that, I'll pass. And I'm here to read from page 164, A Vision for You. Shall I go ahead?
Yeah, go for it.
Thank you. Thank you, Donna. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot see to it that your relationship with him is right. And great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.